Reading 28, February 23, 2022. Two letters, Ralph Waldo Emerson to Walt Whitman, Walt Whitman to Ralph Waldo Emerson, read by Greg Marquis. Appendix to Leaves of Grass, 1856. Letter to Walt Whitman, Concord, Massachusetts, 21 July 1855. Dear sir, I am not blind to the worth of the wonderful gift of Leaves of Grass. I find it the most extraordinary piece of wit and wisdom that America has yet contributed. I am very happy in reading it, as great power makes us happy. It meets the demand I'm always making of what seemed the sterile and stingy nature, as if too much handiwork or too much lymph in the temperament were making our Western wits fat and mean. I give you joy of your free and brave thought. I have great joy in it. I find incomparable things and incomparably well, as they must be. I find the courage of treatment, which so delights us, and which large perception only can inspire. I greet you at the beginning of a great career, which yet must have had a long foreground somewhere. For such a start, I rub my eyes a little to see if the sunbeam were no illusion, but the solid sense of the book is a sober certainty. It has the best merits, namely of fortifying and encouraging. I did not know until I last night saw the book advertised in a newspaper that I could trust the name as real and available for a post office. I wished to see my benefactor, and it felt much like striking my tasks and visiting New York to pay you my respects. R.W. Emerson. Letter to Ralph Waldo Emerson. Brooklyn, August 1856. Here are 32 poems which I send you, dear friend and master, not having found how I could satisfy myself with sending any usual acknowledgement of your letter. The first edition on which you mailed me that till now unanswered letter has 12 poems. I printed 1,000 copies and they readily sold. These 32 poems I stereotype to print several thousand copies of. I much enjoy making poems. Other work I have set for myself to do, to meet people in the States face to face, to confront them with an American rude tongue, but the work of my life is making poems. I keep on till I make 100, and then several hundred, perhaps 1,000. The way is clear to me. A few years and the average annual call for my poems is 10 or 20,000 copies. More, quite likely. Why should I hurry or compromise in poems or in speeches? I say the word or two that has got to be said, adhere to the body, step with the countless common footsteps, and remind every man and woman of something. Master, I am a man who has perfect faith. Master, we have not come through centuries, cast heroisms, fables to halt in this land today, where I think it is to collect a tenfold impetus that any halt is made. As nature inexorable onward, resistless, impassive amid the threats and screams of disputants, so America, let all defer. Let all attend respectfully the leisure of America. Let all defer. Let all attend respectfully the leisure of these states, their politics, poems, literature, manners, and their free-handed modes of training their own offspring. Their own comes just matured, certain, numerous, and capable enough, with egotistical tongues, with sinewed wrists, seizing openly what belongs to them. They resume personality, too long left out of mind. Their shadows are projected in employments, in books, in the cities, in trades. Their feet are on the flights of the steps of the Capitol. They dilate a larger, brawnier, more candid, more democratic, lawless, positive native to the states. Sweet-bodied, completer, dauntless, flowing, masterful, beard-faced, now race, new race of man. Swiftly on limitless foundations, the United States, too, are founding a literature. It is all as well done, in my opinion, as could be practicable. Each element here is in condition. Every day I go among the people of Manhattan Island, Brooklyn, and other cities, and among the young men to discover the spirit of them and to refresh myself. These are to be attended to. I am myself more drawn here than to those authors, publishers, importations, reprints, and so forth. I pass coolly through those, understanding them perfectly well, and that they do the indispensable service outside of men like me, which nothing else could do. In poems, the young men of the states shall be represented, for they outrival the best of the rest of the earth. The lists of ready-made literature which America inherits by the mighty inheritance of the English language, all the rich repertoire of traditions, poems, histories, metaphysics, plays, classics, translations have made and still continue magnificent preparations for that other plainly signified literature to be our own, to be electric, fresh, lusty, to express the size, body, male and female, to give the modern meanings of things, to grow up beautiful, lasting, commensurate with America, with all the passions of home, with the inimitable sympathies of having been boys and girls together, and of parents who were with our parents. What else can happen? The states, even in their own despite, that huge English flow, so sweet, so undeniable, has done incalculable good here, and is to be spoken of for its own sake with generous praise and with gratitude. Yet the price. The states have had to lie under for the same has not been a small price. Payment prevails. A nation can never take the issues of the needs of other nations for nothing. America, a grandest of lands in the theory of its politics, in popular reading and hospitality, breadth, animal, beauty, cities, ships, machines, money, credit, collapses quick as lightning at the repeated admonishing stern words, where are any mental expressions from you? Beyond what you have copied or stolen, where the born throngs of poets, literates, orators, you promised, well, will you but tag after other nations? They struggled long for their literature, painfully working their way, some with deficient languages, some with priestcraft, some in the endeavor just to live, yet achieved for the times. Works, poems, perhaps the only solid consolation left to them through ages afterward of shame and decay. You are young, have the perfectest of dialects, a free press, a free government, the world forwarding its best to be with you. As justice has been strictly done to you, from this hour do strict justice to yourself. Strangle the singers who will not sing you loud and strong. Open the doors of the West. Call for new great masters to comprehend new arts, new perfections, new wants. Submit to the most robust bard till he remedy your barrenness. Then you will not need to adopt the heirs of others. You will have true heirs, begotten of yourself, blooded with your own blood. With composure, I see such propositions, seeing more and more every day of the answers that serve. Expressions do not yet serve, for sufficient reasons, but that is getting ready beyond what the earth has hitherto known, to take home the expressions when they come, and to identify them with the populace of the states, which is the schooling cheaply procured by any outlay any number of years. Such schooling the states extract from the swarms of reprints and from the current authors and editors. Such service and extract are done after enormous, reckless, free modes characteristic of the states. Here are to be attained results never elsewhere thought possible. The modes are very grand, too. The instincts of the American people are all perfect and tend to make heroes. It is a rare thing in a man here to understand the states. All current nourishments to literature serve of authors and editors. I do not know how many there are in the states, but there are thousands, each one building his or her step to the stairs by which giants shall mount. Of the 24 modern stairs by which giants shall mount, of the 24 modern mammoth two double, three double, and four double cylinder presses now in the world, printing by steam, 21 of them are in these states. The 12,000 large and small shops for dispensing books and newspapers, the same number of public libraries, any one of which has all the reading wanted to equip a man or woman for American reading. The 3,000 different newspapers, the nutriment of the three imperfect ones coming in just as usefully as any, the story papers, various full of strong flavored romances, widely circulated, the 1 cent and 2 cent journals, the political ones no matter what side, the weeklies in the country, the sporting and pictorial papers, the monthly magazines with plentiful imported feed, the sentimental novels, numberless copies of them, the low-priced flaring tales, adventures, biographies, all are prophetic, all waft rapidly on. I see they swell wide for reasons I am not troubled on the movement of them, but greatly pleased. I see plying shuttles, the active ephemeral myriads of books also, faithfully weaving the garments of a generation of men and a generation of women. They do not perceive or know what a progress popular reading and writing is made in 50 states. What a progress 50 years hence. The time is at hand when inherent literature will be a main part of these states. As general and real as steam power, iron, corn, beef, fish, first-rate American persons are to be supplied. Our perennial materials for fresh thoughts, histories, poems, music, orations, religions, recitations, amusements, all will then be disregarded any more than our perennial fields, mines, rivers, seas. Certain things are established and are immovable. In these things, millions of years stand justified. The mothers and fathers of whom modern centuries have come have not existed for nothing. They too had brains and hearts. Of course, all literature in all nations and years will share marked attributes in common, as we all of all ages share the common human attributes. America is to be kept coarse and broad. What is to be done is to withdraw from precedence and to be directed to men and women, also to the states of the federalness. For the union of the parts of the body is not more necessary to their life than the union of these states is to their life. A profound person can easily know more of the people than they know of themselves. Always waiting untold in the souls of armies of common people is stuff better than anything that can possibly appear in the leadership of the same that gives final verdicts. In every department of these states, he who travels with a coterie or with selected persons or with imitators or with infidels or with the owners of slaves or with that which is ashamed of the body of man or with that which is ashamed of the body of a woman, or with any less with the bravest and the openest travels straight for the slopes of dissolution. The genius of all foreign literature is clipped and cut small compared to our genius and is essentially insulting to our usages and to the organic compacts of these states. All forms, old poems, majestic and proper in their own lands, here in these lands are exiles. The air here is very strong. Much that stands well and has a little enough place provided for it in the small scales of European kingdoms, empires and the likes, here stands haggard, dwarfed, ludicrous, or has no place, little enough provisions for it. Authorities, poems, models, laws, names imported into America are useful to America today to destroy them and to move disencumbered to great works, great days. Just so long in our country or any country as no revolutionists advance and are backed by the people, sweeping off the swarms of routine representatives, officers in power, bookmakers, teachers, ecclesiastics, politicians, just so long, I perceive, do they who are in power fairly represent their country and remain of use, probably of very great use, to supersede them when it is the pleasure of these states. Full provision is made, and I say the time has arrived to use it with a strong hand. Here also the souls of the armies have not only overtaken the souls of the officers, but passed on and left the souls to the officers behind out of sight many weeks' journey. And the souls of the armies now go en masse without officers. Here also formulas, glosses, blanks, minutia are choking the throats of the spokesmen to death. Those things most listened for, certainly those are the things least said. There is not a single history of the world. There is not one of America or of the organic compacts of the states or of Washington or of Jefferson, nor of language, nor any dictionary of the English language. There is no great author. Everyone has demeaned himself to some etiquette or some impotence. There is no manhood or life power in poems. There are Schotts, gentlemen, there are Schotts and geldings more like, or literature will be dressed up, fine gentlemen, distasteful to our instincts, foreign to our soil. Its neck bends right and left wherever it goes. Its costumes and jewelry prove how little it knows nature. Its flesh is soft, it shows less and less of the indefinable hard something that is nature. Where is anything but the shaved nature of synods and schools? Where is a savage and luxuriant man? Where is an overseer? In lives and poems, in codes of law, in Congress and tuitions, theaters, conversations, argumentations, not a single head lifts itself clean out with proof that it is their master and has subordinated them to itself and is ready to try their superiors. None believes in these states, boldly illustrating them in himself. Not a man faces round at the rest with terrible negative voice, refusing all terms to be bought off from his own eyesight or from the soul that he is or from friendship or from the body that he is or from the soil and sea. To creeds, literature, art, the army, the navy, the executive, life is hardly proposed. But the sick and dying are proposed to cure the sick and dying. The churches are one vast lie. The people do not believe them, and they do not believe themselves. The priests are continually telling what they know well enough is not so. The keeping back what they know is so. Spectacle is a pitiful one. I think there can never be again upon the festive earth more bad, disordered persons deliberately taking seats as if late in these states. At the heads of the public tables, such corpses, eyes for judges, such a rascal and thief in the presidency. Up to the present as helps best. The people, like a lot of large boys, have no determined tastes, are quite unaware of the grandeur of themselves and of their destiny and of their immense strides, accept with veracity whatever is presented them in novels, histories, newspapers, poems, schools, lectures, everything. Pretty soon, through these and other means, their development makes the fiber that is capable of itself and will assume determined tastes. The young men will be clear what they want and will have it. They will follow none except him whose spirit leads them in the spirit with themselves. Any such man will be welcome to the flowers of May. Others will be put out without ceremony. How much is there anyhow to the young men of these states in a parcel of helpless dandies who can neither fight, work, shoot, ride, run, command, some of them devout, some quite insane, some castrated, all second-hand, or third, fourth, or fifth, always other lands first. Talking of art, doing the most ridiculous things for fear of being called ridiculous, smirking and skipping along, continually taking off their hats, no one behaving, dressing, writing, talking, loving, out of any natural and manly tastes of his own, but each one looking cautiously to see how the rest behave, write, talk, love, pressing the noses of dead books upon themselves and upon their country, favoring no poets, philosophes, literates, here but dog-like danglers at the heels of the poets, philosophes, literates of enemies' lands, favoring mental expressions, models of gentlemen and ladies, social habitudes in these states, to grow up in sneaking defiance of the popular substratums of these states. The states, of course, they and the likes of them can never justify the strong poems of America. Of course, no feat of theirs is to stop and be made welcome to muscle the bodies, male and female, for Manhattan Island, Brooklyn, Boston, Worcester, Hartford, Portland, Montreal, Detroit, Buffalo, Cleveland, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Chicago, Cincinnati, Iowa City, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Raleigh, Savannah, Charleston, Mobile, New Orleans, Galveston, Brownsville, San Francisco, Havana, and 1,000 equal cities present and to come. Of course, that what they and the likes of them have been used for draws towards its close, after which they will all be discharged, and not one of them will ever be heard of anymore. America, having duly conceived, bears out of herself offspring of her own to do the workmanship wanted, to freedom, to strength, to poems, to personal greatness. It is never permitted to rest, nor a generation, or a part of a generation, to be ripe beyond further increases to prepare to die. The architects of these states laid their foundations and passed to further spheres. What they laid is a work done, as much more remains. Now are needed other architects whose duty is not less difficult, but perhaps more difficult. Each age forever needs architects. America is not finished, perhaps never will be. Now, America is a divine, true sketch. There are 32 states sketched, the population 30 millions. In a few years, there will be 50 states. Again, in a few years, there will be 100 states, the population hundreds of millions. The freshest and freest of men. Of course, such men stand to nothing less than the freshest and freest expression. Poets here, literates here, are to rest on organic, different bases from other countries, not a class set apart, circling only in the circles of themselves, modest and pretty, desperately scratching for rhymes, pallid with white paper, shut off, aware of the old pictures, and tradition of the race, but unaware of the actual race around them, not breeding in and in among other till they have the scrofula, lands of ensemble, bards of ensemble, walking freely out from the old traditions. As our politics has walked out, American poets and literates recognize nothing behind them superior to what is present with them, recognize with joy the sturdy living form of the men and women of these states. The divinity of sex, the perfect eligibility of the female with the male, all the states, liberty and equality, real articles, the different trades, mechanics, the young fellows of Manhattan Island, customs, instincts, slang, Wisconsin, Georgia, the noble southern heart, the hot blood, the spirit that will be nothing less than master, the filibuster spirit, the western man, native-born perceptions, the eye for forms, the perfect models of made things, the wild smack of freedom. California, money, electric, telegraphs, free trade iron in the iron mines, recognize without demur those splendid resistless black poems, the steamships of the seaboard states, and those other resistless splendid poems, the locomotives followed through the interior states by trains of railroad cars. A word remains to be said, as of one ever present, not yet permitted to be acknowledged, discarded or made dumb by literature and the results apparent. To the lack of an avowed, empowered, unabashed development of sex, the only salvation for the same, and to the fact of speakers and writers fraudulently assuming as always dead what everyone knows to be always alive, is attributable the remarkable non-personality and indistinctness of modern productions in books, art, talk, also that in the scanned lives of men and women, most of them appear to have been for some time past of the neuter gender, and also the stinging fact that in Orthodox society today, if the dresses were changed, the men might easily pass for women and women are for men. Infidelism usurps most with the fetid, polite face among the rest infidelism about sex by silence or obedience, the pens of savants, poets, historians, biographers, and the rest have long connived at the filthy law. The books enslave to it that what makes the manhood of a man, that sex, womanhood, maternity, desires, lusty animations, organs, acts are unmentionable and to be ashamed of, to be driven to skulk out of literature with whatever belongs to them. This filthy law has to be repealed. It stands in the way of great reforms of women just as much as men. It is the interest that there should not be infidelism about sex, but perfect faith. Women in these states approach the day of that organic equality of men, without which I see men cannot have organic equality among themselves. This empty dish gallantry will then be filled with something. This tepid wash, this diluted deferential love, as in songs, fictions, and so forth, is enough to make a man vomit, as to manly friendship everywhere observed in the States. There is not the first breath of it to be observed in print. I say that the body of a man or woman, the main matter, is far quite unexpressed in poems, but that the body is to be expressed, and sex is, of bards for these states. If it come to a question, it is whether they shall celebrate in poems the eternal decency of the amativeness of nature, the motherhood of all, or whether they shall be the bards of the fashionable delusion or the inherent nastiness of sex and of feeble and querulous modesty of deprivation. This is important in poems because the whole of the other expressions of a nature are but flanges out of its great poems. To me, henceforth, that theory of anything, no matter what, stagnates in its vitals cowardly and rotten, while it cannot publicly accept and publicly name with specific words the things on which all existence, all souls, all realization, all decency, all health, all that is worth being here for, all of woman and man, and of man, all beauty, all purity, all sweetness, all friendship, all strength, all life, all immortality. To me, henceforth, that theory in any, of anything, no matter what, stagnates in its vitals cowardly and rotten, while it cannot publicly accept and publicly name with specific words and the things on which all existence, all souls, all realization, all decency, all health, all that is worth being here for, all of woman and of man, all beauty, all purity, all sweetness, all friendship, all strength, all life, all immortality depend. The courageous soul for a year or two to come may be proved by faith in sex and by disdaining concessions. To poets and literates, to every woman and man, today or any day, the conditions of the present needs, dangers, prejudices, and the like are the perfect conditions on which we are here, and the conditions for wording the future with undissuadable words, these states, receivers of the stamina of the past ages and lands, initiate the outlines of repayment a thousandfold. They fetched the American great masters, waited for by old worlds and new, who accept evil as well as good, ignorance as well as crudition, black as soon as white, foreign-born materials as well as home-born, reject none, force discrepancies into range, surround the whole, concentrate them on present periods and places, show the application to each and anyone's body and soul, and show the true use of precedence. Always America will be agitated and turbulent. This day it is taking shape, not to be less so, but to be more so stormily, capriciously, on native principles, with such vast proportions of parts. As for me, I love screaming, wrestling, boiling hot days. Of course, we shall have a national character, an identity, as it ought to be, and as soon as it ought to be, it will be. That, with much else, takes care of itself, is the result and the cause of greater results. With Ohio, Illinois, Missouri, Oregon, with the states around the Mexican Sea, with cheerfully welcomed immigrants from Europe, Asia, Africa, the Connecticut, with Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, with all varied interests, facts, beliefs, parties, genesis, there is being fused a determined character, fit for the broadest use for the free women and free men of the states, accomplished and to be accomplished, without any exception whatever, each indeed free, each idiomatic. Each idiomatic as becomes live states and men, but each adhering to one enclosing general form of politics, manners, talk, personal style, as the plenteous varieties of the race adhere to one physical form. Such character is the brain and spine to all, including literature, including poems, such character strong, limber, just, open-mouthed, American-blooded, full of pride, full of ease, of passionate friendliness, is to stand compact upon the vast basis of the supremacy of individuality. that new moral American continent without which I see the physical continent remain incomplete, maybe a carcass, a bloat, that newer America answering face to face with the states with ever satisfying and ever unsurveyable seas and shores. Those shores you found, I say you have led the states there, have led me there. I sat there, I say that none has ever done, or ever can do, a greater deed for the states than your deed. Others may line out the lines, build cities, work mines, break up farms. It is yours. We have been the original true captain who put to sea, intuitive, positive, rendering the first report, to be told less by any report, and more by the mariners of a thousand bays in each tack of their arriving and departing, many years after you. Receive, dear master, these statements and assurances through me for all the young men and for an earnest that we know none before you, but the best following you, and that we demand to take your name into our keeping, and that we understand what you have indicated and find the same indicated in ourselves, and that we will stick to it and enlarge upon it through these states. Walt Whitman.